Northern Trust Company of Chicago presents the New Northerners program.
The shadow accents on the beach are sharper than the stones I feel. The print of toe and shoeless heel is able as the sound of speech.
Tonight, Richard Shores and the Northerners invite you to join them in a holiday cruise on the beautiful blue Caribbean Sea, to Cuba, the West Indies, the Greater Antilles, where life is leisurely, where a man might find his tropical paradise. Cruising with us tonight is a prominent Chicago radio and television actor, Mr. William Griskie, who will delve into the pages of Daniel Defoe's most famous work to describe what Robinson Crusoe found on one of those unknown, uncharted tropic islands. This is another in the Northerner's new series of programs brought to you in stereophonic sound, a new dimension in radio listening, which you may enjoy by tuning in both AM and FM receivers to WMAQ and WMAQ-FM. Come, step down the gangway in festive mood and set foot on the island of Cuba, land of sugarcane, fine tobaccos, street vendors, and of course the rumba. One of the first authentic importations of rumba music to this country came from Cuba, and the Northerners bring it to us now. It is called El Manicero, but we know it better as the Peanut Vendor. Picturesque as the port cities, the towns, and villages may be to the visitor, the real beauty of the islands lies in the lush, unspoiled nature of the landscape, where one can stroll casually along clean, secluded beaches, feeling all around him a tropical mood. And night casts a special spell, a mellow mood painted in misty shadows and moonlight, a mood caught by the Northerners as they sing, "Neath the Southern Moon."
The southern moon. southern sea, oh, love so warm and free. Neath the spreading shade of palms in sweet surrender, while the breezes Southland, where the scent of the magnolias steep the soul in dreams of longing ecstasy, where the tropics bloom so rare, breathe their languor.
Hopping from one Caribbean island to another is no trick at all today, for modern motor launches and inter-island steamers ply the seas, and airplanes the skies. But in days gone by, raising sails into the southern trade winds to bring island treasures to the world was a dangerous occupation, a challenge even to stout-hearted men. Returning to the days when sea power was measured in sheets to the wind, the Northerner's Octet brings us a medley of sea chanties. Listen now for A Capital Ship, Away for Rio, and Nancy Lee.
A capital ship for an ocean trip was the Galloping Window Blind. No wind that blew dismayed her crew or troubled the captain's mind. The man at the wheel was made to feel contempt for the wildest blow. Oh, oh. Though it often appeared when the gale had cleared that he'd been in his bunk below. Then blow, ye winds, hi-ho, a roving I will go, and stay no more on England's shore, so let the music play. I'm off on the morning train, across the raging main, I'm off to my love with a boxing glove 10,000 miles away.
For the anchor is weighed and the sails are set,
away, Rio! The maze that we're leaving we'll never forget, for we're bound to Rio Grande. And away, Rio, hey, Rio, sing fare ye well, my bonny young girl, we're bound for Rio Grande.
For the anchor is weighed and the sails are set,
away, Rio, the maze that we're leaving we'll never forget, for we're bound to Rio Grande. And away, Rio, hey, Rio, sing fare ye well, my bonny young girl, we're bound for Rio Grande. Of all the bites as e'er you go, yo-ho, See, there she stands and waves her hands upon the quay. And every day when I'm away, she'll watch for me. And whisper low when tempests blow for Jack at sea. Yo-ho, that's all, yo-ho. The sailor's wife, the sailor's star shall be. Yo-ho, we go across the sea. The sailor's wife, the sailor's star shall be. The sailor's wife, the star shall be. The sailor's wife, the sailor's star shall be. Yo-ho, we go across the sea. The sailor's wife, the sailor's star shall be. The sailor's wife, the star shall be.
Because the Northern Trust Company acts as executor and trustee for so many estates probated in the Chicago area, people often ask us, what are the most important considerations in planning for the future of my family? There are, of course, many important aspects to estate planning. One of the foremost among them, however, is to provide flexibility to meet changing conditions. Flexibility is important because provisions made to meet today's conditions may be inappropriate in time of need 10 years from now. This flexibility can be assured by the use of a trust under will. A trust under will is created by an individual when he has his will drawn to provide that certain of his property, or all of his remaining property after payment of debts and taxes, be turned over to a trustee to be held and administered as provided in his will. You can give your trustee such powers as you wish him to have to enable him to meet changing conditions and emergencies, just as you yourself would do. As one of the oldest, best-known trust institutions in the Middle West, the Northern Trust will be happy to assist you and your lawyer in planning a trust under your will. Your will is one of the most important papers you'll ever sign, for it'll put into action plans to dispose of the funds, both securities and other assets, it took you a lifetime to accumulate. We recently published a booklet on wills and estate planning that may be of considerable help to you. It is entitled, Does Your Will Need Replanning? It points out the dangers of having no will at all, or one that has become obsolete, explains the steps in planning an estate, including a trust under will, and the benefits of appointing specialists like the Northern Trust Company as an executor of your estate and as a trustee. If you'd like to receive a free copy of this booklet, come into the Northern Trust Company or write for a copy. The address is 50 South LaSalle Street, Chicago 90. Simply request the will book. You'll receive a copy promptly.
When I was a lad, I had cause to be sad. A very good friend I did lose. I warrant you, Dan, you have heard of this man. His name, it was Robinson Crusoe. Oh, Robinson Crusoe. Oh, poor Robinson Crusoe. He went off to sea, and between you and me, old Neptune wrecked Robinson Crusoe.
Probably the most famous tropical island known to the readers of English literature is the mythical island that became the home of Daniel Defoe's heroic Robinson Crusoe. Here is a tingling adventure of a fight for survival. While all of us remember Crusoe's Man Friday and the telltale footprint in the white sand, few of us remember Crusoe's terror when he discovered that print. William Griskey recalls this fanciful childhood favorite for us now. Mr. Griskey.
It happened one day about noon. I was exceedingly surprised with the print of a man's naked foot on the shore, which was very plain to be seen on the sand. I stood like one thunderstruck, or as if I had seen an apparition. I listened, I looked around me, but I could hear nothing nor see anything. I went up the shore and down the shore. I could see no other impression but that one. I went to it again to see if there were any more, and to observe if it might not be my fancy. But there was no room for that, for there was exactly the print of a foot, toes, heel, and every part of a foot. How it came thither I knew not, nor could in the least imagine. I came home to my fortification terrified to the last degree, looking behind me at every two or three steps, mistaking every bush and tree and fancying every stump at a distance to be a man. When I came to my castle, for so I think I called it ever after this, I fled into it like one pursued. Whether I went over by the ladder or went in at the hole in the rock, I cannot remember. For never frighted hare fled to cover or fox to earth with more terror of mind than I to this retreat. I had no sleep that night. The farther I was from the occasion of my fright, the greater my apprehensions were. Sometimes I fancied it must be the devil, for how should any other thing in human shape come into the place? Where was the vessel that brought them? What marks were there of any other footsteps? How was it possible a man should come there? I considered that the devil might have found out abundance of other ways to have terrified me than this of the simple print of a foot. How strange is the life of man. Today we love what tomorrow we hate. Today we seek what tomorrow we shun. Today we desire what tomorrow we fear, nay, even tremble at the apprehensions of. For I, whose only affliction was that I seemed banished from human society, that I was alone, now trembled at the very apprehension of seeing a man, and was ready to sink into the ground at but the shadow or silence appearance of a man having set his foot on the island. In the middle of these apprehensions and reflections, it came into my thoughts one day that all this might be the print of my own foot. This cheered me up a little, and I began to persuade myself it was all a delusion. Now I began to take courage, for I had not stirred out of my castle for 3 days and nights, so that I began to starve for provision. For I had little or nothing within doors but some barley cakes and water. Therefore I began to go abroad again. But how often I looked behind me, how I was ready every now and then to lay down my basket and run for my life. However, as I went down thus 2 or 3 days and having seen nothing, I began to be a little bolder and to think that there was really nothing in it but my own imagination. But I could not persuade myself fully of this till I should go down to the shore again and see this print of a foot and measure it by my own. But when I came to the place to measure the mark, I found my foot not so large by a great deal. This filled my head with new imaginations and gave me the vapors again to the highest degree, so that I shook with cold like one in an ague. Soon I began to think sedately. I concluded that this island was not so entirely abandoned as I might imagine, that I have lived here 15 years now and had not met with the least shadow or figure of any people yet, and that if at any time they should be driven here, it was probable that they went away again as soon as ever they could, and that therefore I had nothing to do but consider of some safe retreat. So I resolved to make a second fortification, in the same manner of a semicircle, at the distance from my wall, just where I had planted a double row of trees about 12 years before. These trees having been planted so thick before, there wanted but few piles to be driven between them. I had now a double wall, and my outer wall was thickened with pieces of timber and everything I could think of to make it strong. I was presently convinced that the seeing the print of a man's foot was not such a strange thing in the island as I imagined, and but that it was a special providence that I was cast upon the side of the island where the savages never came. When I was come downhill to the shore, being the southwestern point of the island, I was perfectly confounded and amazed. Nor is it possible for me to express the horror of my mind at seeing the shore spread with the remains of a savage feast. I was so astonished with the sight of these things that I entertained no notions of any danger to myself from it for a long while. I got up the hill again with all the speed I could, and walked on towards my own habitation. When I came a little out of that part of the island, I stood still a while, as amazed. And then, recovering myself, I looked up with the utmost affection of my soul, and with a flood of tears in my eyes, I gave God thanks that he had granted me the protection of his providence and delivered me from so many unseen dangers.
Oh, Robinson Crusoe. Oh, poor Robinson Crusoe. He went off to sea, and between you and me, old Neptune wrecked Robinson Crusoe.
Lying somewhat to the west of the last known position of Robinson Crusoe's ill-fated ship is the island of Jamaica, where the vegetation is luxuriant and the earth yields a variety of plants, trees, and fruits. Tending and harvesting these valuable crops are natives whose roots are in Africa, who seem to have an instinct for rhythm, whose dances have provided inspiration for dancers the world over. The Northerners Orchestra, under conductor Richard Shores, brings us a musical number that in both title and feeling expresses this inspiration, the Jamaican Rumba. Yes, the tropical islands of the Caribbean, with their warm days, their cool evening breezes, provide an ideal setting in which your thoughts drift happily with the wind. Listen as the Northerners bring you a modern classic in a tropical mood, The Breeze and I.
Sing with a song. The
you'd like to know more about the benefits of a trust under will, or if you'd like detailed information about making your will, simply stop in at the Northern Trust Company or write for a copy of our free booklet entitled, Does Your Will Need Replanning? If you choose to name the Northern Trust as executor of your estate or as trustee, you may be certain that careful consideration will be given to your particular situation and to the welfare of your family. Plan now to get your copy of the Will Book. Stop in tomorrow for a visit to our bank. We know you'll like what you see, and we know you'll benefit by doing business with the Northern Trust. The New Northerners Program, music and drama brought to you each week in stereophonic sound by the Northern Trust Company of Chicago. The Northern Trust, a member of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and Federal Reserve System, is conveniently located at the northwest corner of LaSalle and Monroe Streets in downtown Chicago, easily accessible to all transportation. Mr. Grisky, on behalf of the Northern Trust, I want to thank you for coming here tonight to highlight our tropical cruise with a journey into its fictional past.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Bannon. You know, it's interesting to note that Robinson Crusoe is still so well read because when it was first published in the 17th century, it became an overnight success, and within just a few months, four editions were completely sold out. Incidentally, I'd like to know, as well as all our listeners, what you're planning for next week.
Next week at 9, the Northerners have a real surprise in store for you. Our guest will be Mr. William Green, well-known Chicago actor, who will bring us Oliver Wendell Holmes' humorous Deacon's Masterpiece, The Wonderful Tale of the One-Horse Shay. Now, this is Jim Bannon wishing you a pleasant good night and reminding you that you'll benefit by doing business with the Northern Trust. This is the NBC Radio Network.